Hello, everyone. We are back with a bonus episode of Oh My Word. And today we have something really, really special and a little bit different. We are going to talk about the path to Robert Caro. And we have a guest speaker. We have a guest with us today. His name is Justin Heyman. And he is going to convince, I don't know if he does anything besides for preach the word of Robert Caro. We'll find out in a minute about that. And I said before we began, I asked if we're going to see if he could convince me. I've known about these books, and I know about Robert Caro, and I haven't yet had the determination to dive in. So we're going to see now if he can convince us all to dive into Robert Caro. So hello, Justin, and welcome to our podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to be here, and you don't feel worried. You certainly are not the only one with a Robert Caro book unread on their shelf. So everyone else who's in that same position, just come along and we'll get you to where you need to be. One of the things that's been kind of interesting, you know, as I've been watching news, I'm here in New York watching local New York One News. All the reporters are, you know, filing the reporting from home now because nobody is kind of out and about.
Right.
And so most people are doing it with the backdrop of the bookshelf. You know, so it's like, here I am reporting from my bookshelf.
Right.
And, you know, it only takes you a few seconds to spot Power Broker. You know, that's how you know they're an authority on a subject, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Well, just for one word about yourself, Justin, when you're not preaching the word of Robert Caro, what do you do? Or is this your full-time mission in life?
No, so I will say that definitely I am a born, bred, and proud reader my whole life. There's no doubt about that. You know, so that is my first love. But by day, I'm a brand marketer, digital marketing. And by night, a yoga teacher, and I do some guided meditation instruction. So try to be on both ends of the business holistic living spectrum.
Right. And so that's good, because now we can feel like you're among the you're among the common people, and we're not speaking to an academic who's just going to tell us stuff that we won't be able to relate to.
Definitely not an academic. I'm a high school dropout. So furthest thing from that.
Oh, wow. If you can read Caro, anyone can read Caro. That's for sure.
100%. No doubt about it.
Okay. So I know you kind of just told me this, but now we'll have to do this again for the casting. So how did you how did you find Robert Caro?
Right. So I'm originally from California, and I moved up to New York about 14 years ago or so. And just as soon as I got here, I immediately wanted to devour everything I could about New York and what I could learn more about New York. And one of the first things I did was watch this PBS documentary series on New York. And Robert Caro was one of the authors that was featured in the series quite a bit, about his book Power Broker and Robert Moses. And I had no idea who this guy was. And so I dove in, and it was intimidating at first because it is a giant, heavy 900-page book about, you know, someone that you've never known, you know. And I've read a few biographies, but generally you read biographies of people you know, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
It was really interesting. The book itself is just fascinating, you know. And what he does is he uses the individual as a framework to tell the story of how political power operates in our democratic society, where we really are taught and believe and act upon the political power is derived from our vote, and he is able to craft the history through his background as an investigative journalist and through his constant researching and turning over every page.
Right.
He's able to document how political power really does work in the urban environment with the power broker, and then he goes on in his career, and the Johnson books are really about that same effect with national political power.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Right. You know, and the thing about the Johnson books is there's the subtitle, which is The Years of Lyndon Johnson.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I think tells the full spectrum of the Carroll story, which it really is the time. It's the setting and it's the years. And an individual like Lyndon Johnson was a character who was around from the New Deal on, essentially. And that was something that I had to discover as well, right? Because you just think of as President Johnson.
Yeah.
Right. So they're just fascinating reads. And the way that he's able to humanize the history and to set a scene, it reads almost like literature.
Wow. Because, well, and for Robert Moses, if I understand, because I think my brother read that and he was so excited when he read it, because I think New York City looks the way it does today because of Robert Caro, also from an architectural point of view, right? There were certain buildings that he okayed and ones that he didn't okay, and that also defined the makeup, right? If you're walking through any street of New York City today, a lot of that is because Robert Moses did that, right?
Right.
So
correct. You know, that's correct, yeah.
Right, so that makes, I could see, like, hey, if I really want to know about New York, I got to know about Robert Moses. But when you're thinking about which president should I investigate, I don't know if Lyndon Johnson is at the top of a lot of people's lists. So having read the books, what's kind of sort of stands out a little bit that you say, no, things that you don't realize are going on today are really all from the Lyndon Johnson years?
So one of the things that Caro does so eloquently and so well, and I've even discussed this with your brother, is he creates these mini biographies.
Okay.
You know, and there's stories about other individuals and characters who kind of went through history that you maybe didn't really know so much about, or maybe it was just a name, and he really fills in the picture. So when you're learning about Lyndon Johnson, the first book, which is largely his, you know, his beginning of his life in the hill country of Texas, into when he becomes a congressman.
Right.
You are learning the story of what it's like to grow up dirt poor in the hill country with no electricity, and you are learning the story of who Franklin Delano Roosevelt was and the New Deal, and you're learning kind of everything that happened to America along the way.
So
that's why it's so much larger than just the man. One of the stories that Caro tells about Lyndon Johnson, and this is in the first book, it was when he was an early congressman representing Texas.
Okay.
And he went through this entire program to bring electrification to the rural areas of Texas.
Oh, wow.
which was something that just was not really happening, was not really a priority. It's just, especially at that time, it was too expensive to bring electricity
right.
to the farms, right?
Right.
But he made it happen. And that's something that immediately changes your life, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, and there's this, it's such a wonderful section of the book, and it's just a piece of poetry, and it's a call out section that everyone should find, where Robert Caro is describing what life was like as the wife of a farmer before electricity, and then the wife of a farmer after electricity, and he goes on and he describes the life, you know, from interviews of people who went through this.
Right.
And the stories that their mothers told them and their grandmothers told them. That's the other great thing about Caro is he's a journalist. And
right.
his work is based on the interviews that he does, so what people tell him, and the hard records that he's able to turn out.
So it's almost like President Johnson is almost just our entry point into those years. It sounds like he's not even, because there's so much, if he's giving so much context to what's going on in those years, it sounds like Johnson is not even, like, how often are we actually seeing him in a book then, if we're really following everything else that's going on, you know, from the 1,500 pages of one of his books, Right. It doesn't sound like Johnson's not on every page.
He's not. No, he's not on every page. That's exactly correct. You know, one of the many biographies in the first book, Path to Power, is about Sam Rayburn, who was the Speaker of the House for a very long time out of Texas.
Right.
And this is the person whom ends up giving Johnson his start of his political power. Right. So you learn a lot about this individual, and you learn about kind of how the times are connected to that. Right.
So
it's you know, I was mentioning before where I first got into Carroll because of Power Broker, and I was so blown away by his writing style, which he has this way of doing the setting and of building a story and of reporting the facts that are just very illustrative. It's a cluster there. It's a set. It's a cluster there. And watching that unfold in the Johnson books, you learn things that you would have never expected to learn, right? And I did, as a great example, I didn't really want to read a book on Lyndon Johnson.
Right,
but
right.
After Power Broker, I was so blown away that eventually I had to pick it up just because I missed his writing.
Wow.
It was literally, I missed his voice. You know, and so that's what kind of like, okay, well, let's do this. And I had bought I bought them for a friend and asked him what he thought of them, and he was really into them, so I was like, let's do this. And yeah, and immediately you're learning so much about what life was like for people, and then things start going along and you understand how it connects into this greater context of politics.
Right. Well, because also what's interesting about Johnson is that his first term as president, he was not elected. So I guess you almost don't even think about all the years that he was in politics and whether or not he was actually leading up to the point where maybe he would have run for president one day, and all of a sudden he was just thrust into the presidency when JFK was assassinated. Even though now I'm looking, I see that doesn't appear until the fourth book that we don't even get to see that yet.
You know, it's so interesting that you brought that point up, because you're absolutely right, because it's like, oh, there's the Johnson presidency and civil rights and Great Society and Vietnam and blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to go there, right? And the funny thing is, that's actually the one area that he's now been working on Johnson on these books since the 70s, right?
Right.
That's the one area that he hasn't, that we don't know, that we haven't read about yet from his coverage, because he's not publishing the
book. Right? Oh, so wow. Right.
So the last book that was published was in 2012.
Right.
And that was called Passage to Power. And that was basically the assassination and leading up just to the early few weeks of his administration. You know, so he is designated the last book to just the presidency. So it is kind of funny that the only things that we kind of really know and relate to Lyndon Johnson
right. Are
the things that Robert Caro has yet to cover.
He's yet to cover. Well, so, did he say, is it public what's planned for the fifth book? So it's only going to cover the presidency and not necessarily going to include until the end years of his life?
Well, he did not live so long
after
his presidency.
Right, right.
So it definitely will. Like, he definitely has the end in mind, I'm sure.
Right.
Just a couple of years. He did not live so long after the presidency.
Right. Well, seeing what Kara could do with just a couple of years, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's
You know, and he largely retreated from public life. I think there was maybe just one or two speeches that he gave before he suffered a heart attack and died.
Right, okay.
I can't wait to read that. You know, and what we know, because there's a rabid fan base of Carroll fans out there,
yeah.
is that he's about halfway done.
Oh, man.
I guess that means there's another 500 pages to write.
And that's even before all the editing comes in. I can't even... Oh, man. So it's going to be another few years.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you said that, because Power Broker, as thick as it is...
Right.
There's 500,000 words, maybe more, plus that
have
been cut out. Because at the time, they couldn't bind a book with more pages.
So the editor
made him drop 500,000 pages. And
wow.
He did. So there's probably an unedited edition lying around in an attic somewhere.
For all the fans to salivate over one DC.
Yeah, right.
Well, okay, and then you were saying also that would you recommend that someone starts with Power Burger before they even try the Johnson years or?
Yeah. So I would start with the Power Broker. I mean, especially if you're a writer, or a great reader, the Power Broker is the one to start with. Because you'll get a sense for his style, and you'll learn a heck of a lot about New York and
right.
how that goes. But the other books are better books, and I think that even Robert Carroll would say as much. They are better books, and I'm someone who believes that writing is an exercise.
Right.
Like, it's a craft like anything else, and they're better books if only by the virtue that he got better at it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
even
with the Johnson books, you'd reckon those have to be read in order, would you say?
So, I think that they should all be read in order. If you had to pick a single Johnson book, let's just say you're just like, okay, like, there's no way in 2020 I'm going to get someone to read 3,000 pages of Johnson from May 1. Like, come on.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Right.
I sort of understand that. In some ways, the last one that he wrote, the one in 2012, which is The Passage to Power, that could almost be read as like a standalone kind of volume.
Okay.
Because there is some amount of recapitulation to some of the earlier stuff that he covered in earlier books.
Uh-huh.
And also, it was maybe, I think, the largest break between the other books. It was something like 12 years. So there is a little bit of look back, and it's also very exciting. It's almost riveting, And it's one of those things, too, when we all know about what happened to Kennedy, what that day was like, November 22nd, 1963.
Right.
We've never really thought about what happened with Johnson. Like, he was in that day, too. It's really just riveting. So that's a good one to start with. But the best parts of all of the books can only be found within each of the volumes. Like you say to me, which Harry Potter should I only read?
Right.
I mean, my answer would be 3 and 5, but that's just me.
I don't know if you should say that too loud, because you might have a bunch of rabid fans that might come after you.
Hey, look, I like time travel, and I like the angst of 5, so there it is.
So there you go. And then, also, I think when we were speaking about you coming on for this podcast, you said that you've met Robert Carroll before?
A number of times, yes.
One second, on purpose because you were stalking him or because you...
So we live in the same neighborhood.
Oh.
And there's been a number of times when we've bumped into each other. He lives a block further downtown than I do, on the Upper West Side. But I live from where he grew up. And when I mentioned to him, he's like, oh, I grew up there. Funny, we talked about the little neighborhood where it's just like 20 blocks up from where he is now. And I've gone to give lectures quite frequently for the New York City and the Upper West Side. And so I've gone to lectures a number of times in the book. But I would run into he and his wife often. And you know what I would run into the most? Just a testament of and why I like Caro, and I think he's an author's author.
Right.
Because it's just a testament of the craft and of the work. So I would see him in the morning when I'm walking my dog. I would see him walking to work, where he would walk from his apartment down Central Park West, and he had a little office space, and every day, and he would pound up on the typewriter for a few hours. So I would see him on his routine to get started for the day. And I'd always be tempted to ask him, what are you writing today? But,
Well, you'd mess with his routine. I don't know if he scheduled you into his routine if you'd go over to him.
Yeah, right,
And so when he does his lectures, what does he speak? He speaks about writing the books, or he talks about politics and
Well, not only, I can answer that question by really recommending the memoir that he put out last year, just last year. It's called Working, and also a great book if you're an author.
Right.
It's really kind of a collection of some of the lectures that he's given over the years, articles that have appeared in other magazines, you know, and insights on just the way that he works, the way that how he figured this out, how he did this, you know. That's one of the things that I've always kind of admired about him, too, is just the endurance, you know, to just that he's definitely out there and he's got something he wants to do and nobody's going to really stop him.
Yeah, and also to just stick with one person for so long and all these books that are so long. It's amazing.
Yeah, so he's up to 5 now, or will be 5, and he had said that originally it was supposed to just be 3. But they've gone on. The other thing that he said is that there's another figure that he's always wanted to do outside of Johnson, after Johnson.
Oh, well.
And I wonder who that is.
Oh, he hasn't said who it is yet?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. It's getting so this is also for fans. Everyone could go onto the forums and all speculate about that.
Yeah. I think everyone just gives them a hard time about when the next book is coming out. You know, when I would go to a lecture, he'd always Q&A or something. And someone would always ask, and he would always respond with, "Do you work for my publisher?"
Do you work for? That's great.
Yes, Beth, I would recommend that one. It's a good audiobook too if you're into audiobooks because he narrates it, so you just got that great, authentic New York accent, you know, that I can only appreciate if not emulate.
Oh, he's born. He's a New Yorker all the through and through.
Through and through, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I wonder if that's what started him in with Robert Moses, if he said that.
So, I don't want to tell his stories because he talks about how he got connected with Robert Moses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know, you're not far off.
Well, the biggest question is if it's a shorter book, because maybe that might be a little one for any reader who's a little bit. Oh, I see. It's a regular size. I see. It's about 200, a little bit over 200 pages. So that's good. If someone wants to just toe the water, that might be something to look into then also before they can take the leap into the Johnson years.
Yeah, you know, I think that if someone wants to take a leap and they've got a Kindle, I believe first of all you can always do the sample,
right?
You know, You know, and if you can't, if after the first chapter you're not into it, you'll call me. But I believe that on the Kindle, they have a short version of just the Dallas section of the fourth book, of just the assassination and kind of that day.
Oh, okay.
And that also kind of gives you a sense for it, right?
Right. So that's also a way to just give it a try first before committing.
Right.
Did someone? Sometimes people don't want to start if they don't know they're going to finish. Or sometimes you end up like the War and Peace people. It took me 2 years to read War and Peace because it's just so long. It was. But I hope this is better than War and Peace because I'm convinced now that this is something this is something that I've got to do. That sounds like something I've got to do.
You should do it. It's interesting that you say War and Peace because. I think Tolstoy is who he's trying to go after, and in terms of this grand epic setting, and he definitely accomplishes it.
Oh wow,
they are epic experiences.
Oh okay then. So it sounds like everyone turn off your TVs and go grab a book. Before we sign out, is there any last thing that you want to say as far as either a favorite scene that you want to bring up or a favorite something about any of the books that we haven't already spoken of? Or just a message to the listeners, a general message to the listeners.
So what is something that is always kind of a treat for the Robert Caro fan is he's well known that he takes great time in two things: outlining the books. Lots of, you know, there's a lot of structure in what you're reading.
Right.
But he has the last sentence before he starts the book. So the last sentence of the book is done. And the last sentence of The Power Broker is pretty good. It's pretty good. The last sentence of The Power Broker is a question.
Oh, wow.
And it's, why aren't they grateful?
Oh, wow. Oh, man, I can't even imagine that moment when that comes into his head and he just sees that question, and then you just know that there's a, it's so, that's such a crazy moment. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You have that question, then you know you've got a book there. That's amazing. That's very, very good. Especially for a city like New York, that's very, very good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, very good. Okay, all right. Well, Justin, thank you so much for your time and for coming on with us today. And I hope we've convinced listeners that this is something that to try this out, to look into Robert Caron, to give it a go. You know, expand your horizons, everyone. Try something else, you know, and this is a good place to start.
Well, I will check. I'll check in with you in a few months and we'll see how far you've come along.
Oh. Okay. All right. Very good then.